The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The long-awaited inquiry into the treatment of a young woman with severe disabilities, as you know, published the final report. The Farrelly Commission of Investigation found insufficient evidence to support claims of sexual, physical and emotional abuse of this woman known as Grace during her time in foster care. However, it did find neglect of Grace in relation to her personal and dental hygiene. It also found financial mismanagement of Grace's disability allowance. Overall, it concluded that there was an overarching failure from the Southeastern Health Board and the HSE in their duty of care to Grace. Now, suffice it to be said that many of the political responses to this report have found it to be very unsatisfactory. The 8-year investigation brings the issue, though, of adult safeguarding into the spotlight once more. And our reporter Jessica Woodlock has been looking into it, and she's with me now. Jessica, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
What has been said about adult safeguarding in the wake of the Grace inquiry?
So Disability Minister Norma Foley obviously welcomed the publication of this report, saying Grace's story must not be forgotten and lessons will be learned. She says significant changes have been made to help safeguard against circumstances like this ever happening again. And what she's referring to here, Pat, is things like the establishment of HICWA, the establishment of bodies like TUSLA and the Child and Family Agency, the HSE's policy on safeguarding and the appointment of a HSE chief social worker last year. However, as we know, Pat, Grace's case is unfortunately not unique. And Ireland is actually one of very few countries who don't have adult safeguarding legislation in place.
If we were to have that legislation, what would it look like?
So adult safeguarding legislation is designed to protect vulnerable adults like Grace. So it concerns adults who may be vulnerable because of their disability, maybe their life situation, their age or a significant trauma they've gone through. So this legislation would protect them, and it also then provides a legal need and I suppose a requirement for other people to report incidents of concern.
Has Ireland done anything about this so far?
So in 2017, an adult safeguarding bill was introduced to the Seanad, where it has never left. So that bill has been stalled since then, and we've had significant lobbying and calls for legislation to be included in programmes for government. More significantly, during that time, Pat, we've had cases like Grace's, where vulnerable adults have been the subject of HICRA reports and reviews, revealing a lack of care and risks to well-being. So I spoke to Sean Moynihan, the CEO of Alone, about this and why adult safeguarding legislation is so desperately needed.
Can you imagine a situation where in your old age, ultimately is somebody is undermining your health, undermining your confidence, taking away some of your money, using your house for their benefit, and ultimately is taking away your dignity, taking away your independence, taking away your safety, your security, and even your own self-worth. And ultimately, like other forms of abuse, whether it's domestic violence, whether it's abuse of children, it has the same effect on these individuals. And again, behind doors, underreported, unseen. And I think ultimately is to change those people's lives by enacting something and rolling out the policies to match that would be something that would be incomprehensible how much that would bring to those individuals. We deal with several hundred cases every year, and the challenges usually are the fear and the anxiety, because the person who is abusing or taking advantage of the individual is somebody close by. But ultimately, even the fact that there would be legislation, if anybody was thinking of taking advantage of a friend, a neighbour, a family member that was older, the fact that they know that if observed, it would be reported, that it would be recorded, that would things is, we hope would act as a deterrent to ultimately is to support people, because even the fact that the legislation's there and that consistency is that there would challenge the status quo.
Now, that was Sean Moynihan, the CEO of Alone. But that's extraordinary. Hundreds of cases presented to Alone every year.
Yes, that's right. So Alone get complaints about financial abuse, emotional abuse, and the HSE's latest report saw an 18% rise in safeguarding concerns. And in relation to elder abuse in particular, the HSE's complaints exceeded 4,000. However, Pat, in the absence of a national safeguarding body, it's hard to know the exact numbers. And as Sean Moynihan mentioned, many cases may be going unreported. And Pat, against the backdrop of these incidents and figures, the Law Reform Commission actually went and published a framework for adult safeguarding in Ireland.
So did you speak to the Law Reform Commission?
Yes, so I spoke to Siobhan Ní Hualachán. She's a barrister and the Director of Research at the Law Reform Commission. She told me that cases like Grace's, so we had the Emily case, the Brandon case, they were significant contributors to why this legislation framework was published at the end of last year. Siobhan told me that there is a huge legislative gap in this area. We fall way behind countries like Scotland, England, Wales, Australia, and even the North when it comes to adult safeguarding legislation. Siobhan said that in the absence of legislation, cases are then made to the High Court on a case-by-case basis. As a barrister, she says it's her experience that it's not only difficult to prosecute because of the lack of legislation, but it's actually difficult to even get a case to court in the first place.
There are definitely situations where there are adults who are at risk for whatever reason and are being exploited by manipulative individuals, you know, who see them as a source of money or medication, you know, who kind of use their house to deal drugs from the kitchen, or who just encroach on their freedom in one way or another, and who the at-risk adult doesn't have the means to protect themselves from that person. I mean, in the absence of a clear offence, you can't prosecute a person. There has to be it has to be clear what offence they have committed, and very often the offence of coercive control is a very subtle thing, and it's very difficult to prove it, you know, and it exists at the moment in a very limited form on our statute books, and we would like to see that expanded to include more situations. And similarly, you know, if it's not clear that the Gardaí have the power to go into a premises to take a person out, well then they're just, you know, not really able to do that. If it's not clear that HICWA have a power of inspection, then they're not going to be able to do that either. And without those clear powers and clear rights for the individuals on the other end of them, the situation is unsatisfactory, because people are afraid, organisations are afraid to take steps. They're afraid that they will render themselves liable to prosecution or to civil action for damages, you know, and that's why we need a legislative basis. You know, it brings clarity and it brings accountability. You'd be less at risk of cracks that occur when legislation is siloed or organisations are siloed and things fall between the gaps, and there would be less of a risk of that if there's a cross-sectoral piece of legislation.
So that was Siobhan Ní Hualachán, the Director of Research at the Law Reform Commission. So what kind of laws are they recommending?
So they're recommending 4 new criminal offences. So this would encompass things like coercive behaviour. It would cover neglect and one's duty of care to an adult. And they also recommend the setting up of a national safeguarding body, new powers for the Gardaí in this area, and then the mandatory reporting of concerns.
So what does the government says that they actually will do?
So, Pat, people obviously want to see safeguards brought in so things like Grace's case don't happen again. And this is something that the government do acknowledge. The programme for government commits to 2 things. So it commits to publishing a national policy on adult safeguarding for the health and social care sector, and it commits to exploring a national safeguarding body.
Doesn't sound very promising to me.
Crucially here, Pat, there's no commitment to bringing in adult safeguarding legislation. So in the past, we've seen maybe one government will propose legislation and another government will be the ones to actually sign it into law. So there is a general understanding with these things that some things do take time. However, I asked Siobhan what could actually be done in the lifetime of this government, and she believes there's a host of amendments that could be made quickly and with very little effort.
In 4 to 5 years, you could definitely introduce the criminal bill that we've recommended with the 4 new criminal offences, and that would go a long way towards protecting at-risk adults from, coercive situations or exposure to harm, and that would be very important. But you could also bring in rules for the financial institutions and training for the financial institutions so that they would identify transactions that look like they might be made under pressure by an at-risk adult, and maybe be able to stop those, you know. You could bring in regulation of the fee arrangements for service providers, for example. You could bring in regulation of healthcare professionals. You could bring in Garda vetting, but those things need to be resourced. It is worth assigning resources to this area because lots of people know adults who are at risk of harm. Lots of people know adults who are being harmed. And, you know, some of us will be adults at risk of harm as we get older. So this is really not talking about an imaginary person. This is talking about your neighbour down the road, and this is talking about the person who comes into your shop or into your bank, or the person that you see the carer going in and out of to mind them, and you feel that they're maybe not very happy in the situation. It's a concern that it's ongoing, and there are changes that would cost nothing. For example, the new criminal offences we have recommended, well, the infrastructure for implementing criminal offences is there. The courts exist, the guards exist, the DPP exists. It wouldn't cost money to implement those, for example. So some of the changes in the report could be brought in without large cost very quickly, and some of them will require more resourcing and more exploring, I suppose, by the government.
That's Siobhan Houlihan, barrister and director of research at the Law Reform Commission. So, Jessica, when can we expect the government's national policy?
So this is what it all comes down to. So the government say they'll publish their national policy on adult safeguarding in the coming months. So it's worth noting, Pat, that this is applicable to the health and social sector only, and it's not the cross-sectoral approach that was recommended by the Law Reform Commission. The Department of Health told me that the intention for this policy is that it will apply to all public, voluntary and private healthcare and social care settings. The department said it will facilitate the development of legislation, and they've said a health adult safeguarding bill is in the legislation programme. The Department of Health have also told me they'll publish the findings of a public consultation that was done in the last government alongside the publication of this policy. However, Pat, I asked the Health Minister about her intentions for adult safeguarding at a media briefing at the end of February. I asked Minister Jennifer Carol McNeill about it following a damning HICWA review of Sunbeam services. And in the interest of context, Pat, I've included my question here ahead of the Minister's answer.
Huge issues, huge failures recorded across 10 centres. And also, what are the government going to do then in terms of adult safeguarding in that area?
I've seen the HICWA report just this morning, went to my colleague, the Minister for Disability. I'm good to see what her response is to that, generally.
There's no commitment at this stage about adult safeguarding being introduced.
I want to leave that to my colleague, Minister for Disability.
We used to have a sound effect of the can being kicked down the road. I think I'd play it here at that point. Now, Minister for Health, Jennifer Carol McNeill there. So whose department then would this thing really fall under?
So this is the thing. So the HICWA review in question that I was asking the minister about there, that does technically fall under the remit of Disability Minister Norma Foley. However, I asked the Department of Health who is primarily responsible for adult safeguarding. And in a statement, they told me that this looming policy, might I add, is a joint enterprise between health and disability. But they've said the policy is within the remit of the Minister for Health in the first instance. So Pat, as it stands, we have a commitment to a policy that apparently will be published shortly. However, the Health Minister didn't feel confident to discuss it in any capacity really just 6 weeks ago. And we have a commitment then to explore a national safeguarding body.
There's widespread dissatisfaction with all of this, so presumably the opposition have things to say.
That's right. So I spoke with Sinn Féin TD and spokesperson for health, David Cullinan. He says this is an issue that's brought to his attention time and time again. And Pat, he believes it's long past time for government to introduce legislation.
The problem is there's no urgency in relation to it, and there is certainly no clear, unequivocal commitment from government to develop legislation. The difficulty here is that we've had so many cases and we've seen some of those individual cases of neglect and abuse surface during COVID. We saw the Brandon case, for example, in Donegal. We've seen many more cases in centres that care for people with disabilities and also obviously older people in nursing homes. And each and every time that one of these cases emerge, there is outrage, understandably, from the public, and obviously a lot of hurt for the family members of those individuals. But the systemic failures which lead to many of these issues not being properly dealt with is something that just continues. And then we have these issues repeated over and over. Consultation, you know, policy documents are one thing. What we need is the statutory infrastructure put in place. We have seen a number of instances across the state over a long number of years where there has been failures, where there has been lapses, where there has been instances of abuse and neglect, some horrific cases, as we know. And each and every time that happens, we can't simply shake our heads and give team sympathy and say, well, listen, here's another terrible example, and we move on again. We have to heed the calls from the experts who work in this area, who time and again have been calling for legislation. And yet the government, for whatever reason, seems to be dragging its feet, and only they can answer for the delays in bringing forward this legislation.
And that's the Sinn Féin TD and spokesperson on health, David Cullinan, ending that report from Jessica Woodlock. Jessica, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.